Dave Archer, and Wes Durham.
And good afternoon from Flowery Branch, another edition of the Mike Smith Show coming up in this hour. And Matt Bosher, the Falcon punter who's having a great season, will join us at the bottom of the hour in our player segment. Tough day in Charlotte yesterday, and it worked out well for the Panthers on two fronts. Not only did they get a win over Atlanta, which was obviously goal one for Ron Rivera's team, then they turn around and find out that the Jets come from behind to beat the Saints. So Carolina essentially double-dipped it all the way out yesterday after the victory over Atlanta. And the Falcons now find themselves 2-6 through the first half, welcoming Seattle to the Georgia Dome on Sunday. The Seahawks also turned it back around yesterday. From the time we got on the plane to the time we landed, they got the thing to overtime, came from 21-0 down, and won in overtime yesterday on Stephen Hauschka's 27-yard field goal to beat the Bucs 27-24.
Well, Bo Morgan, who is executive producer for Falcon Radio, and I were talking last night on the bus ride home, talking about Seattle and what Seattle's been able to do.
Right.
And it looks a lot like Atlanta's season a year ago.
Yeah.
They've pulled a couple of Harry Houdinis, and it's been back-to-back weeks. This week, we remember the game against Houston with the pick-six from Matt Schaub that got him into overtime. They found a way to win that football game.
Yep.
So maybe a team of destiny a little bit in Seattle with losing in Atlanta after they stormed back against Atlanta in that divisional playoff game. And their heartbreaking loss, they've seemed to have come back with a lot of resolve, and they're winning those kind of games.
8-1 Seattle will be here on Sunday at 1:00. Second straight year these two have met, obviously, as they met a year ago, and of course that means Russell Wilson will be here. And his second year has not been too bad either. 62.5% completion percentage, and he's thrown 15 shutdowns, 6 interceptions. Has been sacked 27 times, though, Dave, through the first 9 balls.
Well, it tells you that he's trying to hold on to the ball and create. It also tells you that there's probably a little bit more of a book on Russell Wilson, trying to keep him hemmed in. He's not the tallest player in the world, and that makes it difficult when you haven't played as much, and Russell's in his second season, still understanding where the throwing lanes are, how teams are going to react to how his team's lining up. Creates some issues for him to be able to see it. So subsequently, he's probably holding the ball account longer to make sure somebody's clean before he lets it go, and it's allowing defenses to get to him.
Golden Tate, 35 catches and 3 scores, and Marshawn Lynch, 726 yards and 6 touchdowns to lead the Seahawks.
Well, we know about Marshawn Lynch, and I do know that he's beat up right now. They obviously lean on him heavily. Turbin's been a nice guy they've been able to hand the football to in his stead. So they've done a nice job of keeping the run game going, and Russell Wilson's a part of the run game as well.
No question. Defensively, of course, Seahawks pretty good. You know about the corners, Browner and Sherman. We'll talk with Coach Smith about the challenge there for the young wide receivers that Atlanta is putting on the field, and also the linebackers. They've moved Bruce Irvin, who was a defensive end a year ago in the wild card game, or division game, I should say, now back to an outside linebacking spot with Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright, so they've got athleticism there too.
Yeah, big-bodied guy is K.J. Wright. Many who played or watched the SEC will remember K.J. Wright from Mississippi State, and obviously Bobby Wagner, a guy that burst on the scene for him last year, rookie out of Utah State, has played extremely well for him. I think the guy that kind of stirs the drink is Earl Thomas, their free safety, and he seems to be kind of the new-age Troy Polamalu, if you will. He seems to be in the right place at the right time. He makes the big hit. He comes up with the interception. And that's who Earl Thomas reminds me of, is kind of a Troy Polamalu type player.
Right.
And he seems to be kind of the guy that makes that defense go. Now, they've got a lot of talent around him. Pass rushers galore. They've got big people in the middle that can stuff the run. But it's a good defense, no question.
Well, the Falcons fell 34-10 yesterday in Charlotte to the Carolina Panthers, and head coach Mike Smith is good enough to spend this first half hour with us. And I know your group disappointed. You basically got a one-score ball game when you get in the third quarter. Gano kicks the field goal, but you're still kind of within striking range, Smitty.
Yeah, we felt like we played a tight ball game up until about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We had an opportunity to turn the ball over, knocked it out, didn't get the ball, and then the next play they score, and then following the kickoff, we go out there offensively and throw an interception that's returned for a touchdown, and it kind of takes it from a one-score game to a three-score game just like that. And that can happen in the NFL, and unfortunately it happened to us when we really needed to make that play and get that turnover.
So there's a lot to talk about, I guess, when you get in this situation, 2-6 now, and it's obviously nowhere near what you expected or anybody else expected. What, from an overview standpoint, after 8 weeks and now where you're sitting at 2-6, I know you go out and you try to win the next football game. That's the first and foremost. But what is there any more to the mindset than that as far as looking at where you are and as you move forward into this third quarter?
Dave, we've got to keep a positive attitude. We haven't had the outcome that we've wanted in the first half of the season. As I tell our guys all the time, you get what you earn in this league, and that's what we've earned. It's such a fine line in terms of winning and losing in most ball games, and we have not played consistently nor efficiently enough to get the outcome that we want. But our mindset's not going to change from this week to any other week in terms of our preparation. We're going to go in there and prepare for a very good Seattle team that the last time that they came here was in January of last year, and look forward to competing against them. They're playing very good football. They've got one loss on their ledger, and we need to go in and play much better football than we have played in the first eight games of the season.
Smitty, you got an unbelievable effort yesterday from Paul Warlow from a production standpoint. In fact, he tied Curtis Lofton, I think, for the most tackles in a single game. 19 ended up being the final number. It's just an astonishing number from a young guy who's been inserted into your lineup here in the last handful of ball games, and yet we saw in glimpses in week one against the Cincinnati Bengals in preseason when I think he had 11 tackles all in the second half. How did it look on tape? What do you see out of this young guy? I mean, you were a former linebacker back in the day now. I mean, this guy knows where the football is.
He's got a great understanding of the game of football. He's very active. He can play in both of our regular or base defense mm-hmm. and our sub defense. You know, this is a guy that was a college free agent that our guys identified, Thomas and his staff identified as someone that we thought might have an opportunity to make our roster.
Yeah.
And he's come in here and taken advantage of the opportunity, starting with what he did in the preseason. I think you saw very early on that this guy had a nose for the football, and he has a much better understanding halfway through the season. He's played a lot more snaps than we anticipated play, and as I told him, I think last week, I said, you know, you and Jopp, you're not rookies any longer. The circumstances are such that they've had to go in there and play, and they've done a nice job. But Paul, watching the tape, I think made some very fine plays. Always room for improvement. But being in on 19 tackles in an NFL game is very impressive.
Smitty, I think all of us that ever played the game know that you're never too old to be coached, and so all guys are looking for some help. One of the most resilient players I've ever seen that you've got on your football team is Matt Ryan. And Matt's had seven turnovers in the last two games. Is there something you see on tape that maybe at some point you do go back and do some kind of coaching point? I know he's a really intelligent guy and understands he can't make those mistakes. Is there something you do there?
Well, Matt and I talk almost on a daily basis during the season, and there's always plays that you'd like to have back. There's plays that you anticipated something else was going to happen with maybe a wide receiver or where a route was going to be run. I think what we have to do when things aren't going well, you got to get back to the basics and doing the little things right. And that's not just Matt, that's us as a football team. And go through your reads, go through your progressions, get right back to the fundamentals of looking at everything like it was the beginning of the season, right, or it was your second year in the season. You just got to continue to, you got to continue to work at it and make sure that you, your receivers, your running backs, tight ends, we're all seeing it from the same eyes.
Do you ever get concerned with the psyche of a player? I think we all are human beings at some point. Do you ever get concerned with the psyche of a guy who struggled a little bit for a couple of weeks?
Do you? I get worried about the psyche of guys that have played well for for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fine balance in terms of having yourself ready. You know, like I said, you don't want to be overworked or underprepared. You want to be just right when you're getting ready to go play a football game. You know, Matt is the most critical, self-critical guy, probably to a fault, overcritical of his play. But I think that's the reason he's an elite quarterback. And unfortunately, we as a team, I know we say Matt, you know, like Matt Ryan's turned the ball over 7 times in the last 2 weeks. It's the Atlanta Falcons that have turned it over. It's not always the one person. There are a number of factors that go into every play, whether it's successful or unsuccessful. But Matt and I have had many conversations, the guys that are going to have the record tied to them the most are the head coach and the and the starting quarterback. We understand that.
Well, see, my coach never said that. See, every time I threw the ball to the other team, that was my fault. I wish I could have played for Smitty. I mean, it is a team concept. When you start talking about running routes, protecting the passer, those kind of things. So just wondering. I know the fan is concerned about their quarterback right now.
Yeah, well, we have not played up to the level that we want to play as an offensive football team in terms of turnovers. And ball security is 9/10 of the game. From when the game was invented, it was about possessing possessing that ball. Mm-hmm. And it's still that way. When you're on offense, you want to possess it and make sure that when the down is over, that you still have possession of it.
Let me ask you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You know, and it's tough to score a whole lot of points when the last 2 weeks we've been in the 40s in terms of offensive snaps. That's something that we can't continue to do. We need to be up in the mid to high 60s at a minimum.
A couple of thoughts here before we get to the break. Steven Jackson had 57 yards yesterday rushing. You guys had 78 against a team that was allowing right at about that figure a ball game. But yesterday, Smitty seemed to run it better than maybe you had in the previous couple of weeks, not just from a statistical standpoint, but from an effectiveness standpoint.
Yes, I thought we made improvements in the run game. I think, if you take out the 2 scrambles that Matt had for 1 yard, it puts you 18 for 78, and it puts your running back, when your running back carried the ball, we were over 4.2, right at 4.2, which is getting closer to the marker that we're looking for. We still have room to improve. I thought that the offensive line did a good job. We got Steven going. We got into a situation there in the last 8 minutes of the ball game that there were not going to be any runs called.
Right.
We had to throw the football, but I think that there was improvement on the offensive side in terms of running the football. Still not where we want to be. We would like to see that number up a little bit higher than where it was.
All right, we'll come back, talk more with Coach Mike Smith here in our first half hour, and then punter Matt Boscher is going to join us in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show here live from Flowery Branch. Don't forget, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 any deals back. Perfect for the Bears and Packers tonight. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. More from Flowery Branch with the Falcon head coach after this on 790 The Zone.
Sensor looks to the end zone and intercepted, but out of bounds, Robert Alford. No call. Or they call a touchback? They wave it off? No call at all.
The ruling on the field is an incomplete pass.
It's a pick.
Oh, it's called an incomplete.
The ruling on the field, but look at this. We got a replay. The
previous play will go under review.
Thank you.
Here's Tony Carreni with the details.
After reviewing the play, the Atlanta defender was able to keep one foot in bounds and drug the other. It is an interception, therefore a touchback.
Well, I can assure you this is far less confusing than the way the game was officiated yesterday. Verizon Edge, introducing
nice.
Verizon Edge. Pick a phone, pay monthly installments, enjoy the phone for 6 months or until at least 50% of the phone is paid off, and then edge up. Trade up your existing device to a new one. It's that simple. Not quite as simple, evidently, for the crew yesterday, though.
Our SunTrust Bank shining play of the game from Robert Alford. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? The head coach will just let you and I editorialize it. We'll move on here in the second segment. Right?
Absolutely. I want to keep that money in my bank account.
Are we just Arch and I will editorialize.
I'm lucky I haven't been fined this year. It's really a bad deal.
No. Okay, no. Good. We're good then. Here comes Seattle, Smitty. And Arch and I were talking at the top. This is it's a fascinating team when you look at their marks, because seemingly the 50-50 ball, like the play yesterday you were talking about in your press conference, the 50-50 ball, Seattle finds a way to get the 50-50 ball, the 50-50 play. Yeah. Sherman's pick six of Matt Schaub early in the year at Houston. Do you sense that with teams when you watch them on tape? Boy, you know, they kind of got a little bit of mojo going here.
Oh, I think absolutely. You look at teams and you see that they're making plays and the ball is bouncing their way. Mm. And it is obvious that Seattle is, especially on defense, is playing outstanding. Total defense, less than 300 yards a game, second in the league. They're number one in terms of interceptions. They've had 13, and they can rush the quarterback with 29 sacks. So this team's playing with a lot of confidence. They're 8-1. Mm. They have found ways to win football games. I mean, I'm sure you can go and look. It was an overtime win yesterday against Tampa Bay. Earlier in the season, they had a couple of very close games as well that came down to the last couple of plays. So they're playing with a lot of confidence, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Smitty, when you look at their defense, and we were talking just before you came in, when you look at this Seattle defense, and it seems like there's always, when you've got a defense that's making the kind of plays and playing at the level they're playing at, there always seems to be a lot of talent, certainly, but that one guy that kind of stirs the drink for them. I was equating a Troy Polamalu type of player. It seems like Earl Thomas is that kind of player for them.
Oh, Earl Thomas is an outstanding safety. Does a lot of great things. He can play close to the line of scrimmage and be a very effective player when they want to get crowd the line of scrimmage. And then he also has the ability to play the middle of the field. You got to be aware of where he is. He packs a punch when he tackles. Mm. He's one of the guys that plays very good football for the Seattle Seahawks on defense. But they've got some – they got some men up front that play with a lot of energy, and they've got some guys with some size and speed, and they've been able to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
We've seen what's happened to a Steeler defense without Polamalu playing for them. They've struggled at times over the last couple of seasons. And in general terms, because you've coached a lot of really good defenses, when you don't have that guy on the field, and I'll call – Sean Witherspoon, that type of guy for you here, a guy with a lot of energy that plays sideline to sideline. In general terms, how difficult is to find another guy, or can you find another guy to fill that void?
I think that it takes time. I think you have an opportunity. You can't just say you're anointing this guy to be Deshaun Witherspoon or the Troy Polamalu. You earn that, and you earn that by the production that you have on the field on game day. You earn that the way that you practice on the practice field. You earn that the way that you interact in the locker room. So it's really hard to say that you can find someone that can replace a guy like Spoon in terms of the things that he brings to a football team.
You know, it's interesting. You talked earlier about Paul Warlow and the production line from him, the production of Joplo Bartu, another college free agent. Then at the other end of your rookie class, you got two guys you drafted up front, obviously Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford. Both had interceptions yesterday. We heard Alford's coming back from the break. What does it mean going forward with this football team that you are getting something out of the young guys on a consistent basis? Might not be interceptions, but they're playing. They're getting a lot of reps here, Smitty. Both these two college free agents at linebacker, young guys in the offensive line from time to time, things like that. I mean, it's got to speak to where the continuity of this process continues, right?
Yes, Wes. You can't overvalue the importance of experience and going out there and playing the game. Each and every year, your football team changes. There's parameters that are in place that change, force your roster to change. We knew that we were going to have to play these young corners, and they've done a nice job. Desmond's come in and from day one has been a solid guy. I don't know that he's missed many snaps. Robert's come in and helped us in our nickel package. When Sante Samuels missed a couple games, he actually stepped in and played even more. So it's invaluable for us as we build, you know, as we build our team for sustainability and relevancy. We want to be a relevant team each and every year, and you have to have young players step up because there is going to be a changing of the roster every season. And it's been a pleasant surprise to see the two college free agents go out and play the number of snaps that they've played, and with the effectiveness that they've played individually, you have to look at it. You can't look at it in terms of, well, you're 2-6, and are you 2-6 because you're playing four rookies, basically starting four rookies on the defensive side of the ball. You can't look at it that way. You have to take the individual approach and evaluate each piece of the, you know, of the team.
You talk about evaluation, and I think that's something, you know, you shared with Dave and I, the ability to evaluate every week. How comprehensive does it get, much more voluminous, I guess, in terms of the way you look at it once the season ends, week to week, and what they did production-wise? Because right now you're evaluating, I'm going to guess, the Carolina Panthers to the Seattle Seahawks, or 2 weeks ago, you know, when you played in Arizona, then Carolina. Now you're moving forward. You don't look at the wide stroke until the end of the year, right?
No, you don't. You look at it, you know, from week to week. But as I talk to our guys all the time, and it's not just evaluating them in the preseason and putting together your 53-man roster. Mm. We're being evaluated every day, not only by the people in this building, the coaches, the scouts, the pro department. We're being evaluated across the league. And what you put on tape is your DNA. And that's what it is. You know, you have to have an understanding of that. And so everything that you put on tape in a game situation is being evaluated not only by the people in your building, but by the 31 other teams. There's people that are responsible in our building to know the league and put grades on every player every week. So they're constantly being evaluated. And competition is, I think, a wonderful thing. It's a healthy thing for your, you know, for your football team to have competition each and every week on who's going to be out there on the field.
Smitty, last thing for you from me. We know that Sean Witherspoon's probably going to be available next week for you, or potentially next week, depending on how he feels, be able to come back off of the in-season injured reserve. Potentially this week, two big-time players come back. Your Roddy White was very close this week. We'll obviously find out on Wednesday about Roddy. And it sounds like Percy Harvin may be available for Seattle coming back. Your thoughts on both those players potentially playing on Sunday?
Well, those are two pretty good wide receivers, and I think it would I hope Percy doesn't come back and Roddy does,
yeah.
But if he does, he does. We got to go out, and whoever they put out there, we've got to go out and defend him. But, you know, Roddy's working hard to get back out on the field. He did participate in a practice, albeit it was our Friday practice, which is not nearly as intense as our Wednesday or Thursday practice. We're hoping to get multiple practices under his belt this week as we, you know, go through our preparation for the Seahawks.
Real quick, Coach, our Defend the Dome question comes from Alex Martin here in Atlanta. And, of course, Alex now gets a $50 gift card to NFLShop.com. You can log on to DefendTheDome.com. And if your question's answered, you'll get the same gift card Alex is going to enjoy, courtesy of Coach Smith and our great friends at Ford. He wants to know if the routine of players and coaches changed throughout the season, and should it as the season does not go. In other words, if their overall record, things like that. Your routine, though, is kind of, I think you set this thing, you told us one time back in the spring, right, of how the schedule's going to go?
Yes, in terms of the days that we're going to work and the days that we'll have off, that's given to the players the very first day of our off-season program. I think that it does change as you get into the season. The volume of work that you do on the field has to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we knew that going out and practicing 4 hours every day would guarantee that we'd win games, we'd go out there and practice 4 hours. It doesn't happen that way. We've got to work and be very diligent in terms of the workload that we put our players through during the week so that they can be prepared to play on Sunday. So as the season goes along, regardless of whether you're 6-2 or 2-6, you have to taper off your workload through the second half of the season. If not, you're going to continue to have guys not being rested enough, or you risk the potential of getting guys hurt on the practice field. And if you're going to get guys hurt, you'd much rather have it happen on game day than on practice days.
Perfect. Smitty, thanks as always. Appreciate it. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Falcons head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. Matt Bosher in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Look to his right, sailing deep, and it will be intercepted. Desmond Trufant at the 5. They did try and dial Ginn deep, and Desmond Trufant the pick.
Never be without football. Get coverage of every NFL game from NFL Mobile on your smartphone. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile from Verizon now.
Our Ackerman Security defensive play of the game, courtesy of Desmond Trufant, brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch, online at AckermanSecurity.com. Okay, Arch, time for the players segment of the program. Matt Bosher's here today with us. Having yourself a little bit of a year there, Coach Bosher.
Coach Bosher. getting some opportunities and getting out and doing my job.
Is it different the more you go in this league? 1 year to 2 years, 3 years? I mean, how much does it change from year to year?
Just a comfort level, getting out there, comfortable with the game speed, knowing your role,
right.
And specializing. You get a chance every day to go out and work on your craft and perfect it and get better and better.
I want to talk specifically here in a second about your heavy workload you had each and every work as you get ready for the games. And I say that.
Here's the quarterback killing punters.
No, believe me, this is a guy that works his rear end off, and we're going to get to it in a second. What's the mindset of the team right now? You guys have had a lot of success since you've been here. What do you do with this situation? It's a bad situation. What do you do with it?
Go back to work. There's nobody feels sorry for you in this league. You got to go out and earn everything you get. And, this week's a new week. We start over. We got Seattle this week. And focus on playing the Seahawks the best we can and getting a game plan together and working through it.
Do you find yourself trying to pump guys up, or is this a good team about? It seems like this is a good team about staying self-motivated.
Yeah, no, we don't need to be pumping each other up. Everybody's motivated. Everybody wants to win. We've been, successful, and we know what it takes to get there. It's just a matter of doing our jobs and getting it done on the field.
I've had a question I've been asked a number of times in regards to what are the kickers doing at practice? And I said, well, I mean, it depends on who the kickers are. I said, sometimes the kickers, you don't ever see them. They're in playing video golf or something like that. I said, we've got a guy, a punter here, that actually would like to be playing defensive back on this team.
Sure.
Talk about that. You've made a lot. Unfortunately, you've had to make some plays, and I know you'd prefer not to. You'd prefer your coverage guys to make them. But you've made a number of plays, some physical plays. In fact, I saw you jump in somebody's face on the side. I don't want to talk who that was. But what do you do as far as – do you guys actually do tackling drills? Do you do that kind of stuff?
No, we don't do any tackling drills.
You don't take
drills.
Brian in the locker room and beat the hell out of him or anything?
No. No. Matt Bryant, I mean, he'd like to think he's a linebacker, at heart. He really is. He's feisty as all hell. But, we don't really do any tackling drills. Keith talks about, different techniques on what to do, mirror guys and stuff. But, more or less, you just want to be in the right position. You want to position yourself. You want to have good angles on guys. And if it comes to it, you got to try and make a play. They have 11 guys on the field, and you got to be the 11th guy on our team.
Yeah, but what is it about you now? Because I remember watching you at Miami. You were beating coverage guys down the field to
Come
make tackles.
Now.
It's legendary.
I mean, it's football. I love getting out there and, getting a little bit dirty, trying to stick my nose in there and make some plays. But, it's not my job, but if I can, I like to always be there and, try and get involved with the guys.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, getting involved with the guys. Now, some special teams guys, comma kickers / punters, might say getting involved would be what his Arch calls shoe dusting.
Oh, geez.
Okay,
He doesn't do that.
You don't shoe dust.
No.
You're going for the numbers. I mean, you're playing the game like you want to play.
I mean, it's a fun game. You get out there and you get a chance to hit somebody. You don't, you know, you're on the street. You can't hit anybody. You get in trouble for it. You know, in a game of football, you strap it up. You get some shoulder pads and a helmet. And, you know, you can only play this game for so long, so you might as well take advantage of it and hit somebody.
You carried the load at Miami at both punting or all of it.
Yeah.
Kickoff, punting, as well as place kicking. How much did that change the attitude? Because some players, they'll say, oh, those are the kickers or that's the guy. Did that change the kind of the attitude of the guys that you played ball with at Miami? And I think it has here because I don't think the guys think of you as a punter. They look at you more like a DB.
Well, I mean, I'd like to hope so. You know, everybody has their role, and the more you can bring to the team, I think the better. Try and work as much as I can, whether it be, you know, weight room or in the off season, just trying to prepare myself mentally and physically to play this game. And luckily, I don't have to make those plays a lot. You know, I've got Antoine Smith running down the outside, yeah, always making big plays. You know, my line up front, they've done a great job over the 3 years I've been here. I, you know, haven't really had to get, you know, hit that many times back, you know, back there punting the ball. So, you know, a lot of credit to those guys. It's been, you know, really helping me get to where I am now.
Matt Boscher is with us in the player segment of the Mike Smith Show here on 790 The Zone. We're live at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Mike Westhoff coached the Jets for a long time, great special teams guy in this league, and made some news back during the preseason, early part of the season, when he said that the, you know, the kickoff is basically, you know, we're taking special teams out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who kicks off, are we diminishing the kick return here, or is there more strategy involved, or is it just kick it through the end zone, let them have it at the 20?
I mean, a lot of guys now are purely going for the touchback. I mean, they move everything, getting moved up to the 35. You're giving these guys who have great legs an opportunity to, you know, just bury the ball at the back of the end zone. You know, the K-ball was brought in specifically to encourage more returns. And it's an exciting play. You get touchdowns. You know, Devin Hester's made a huge name for himself, mm-hmm, returning kickoffs and punts.
Funny you'd mention a guy from the U in that situation.
Yeah, nice choice.
Very good.
Yeah.
You like that, right? You like that.
Well played.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge play. And it, to take it out of the game, I mean, it really just – it takes some of the – you know, it takes some excitement away. But you still have these guys, I mean, taking it from nine deep.
Jacoby Jones.
Exactly. You know, yeah, the Vikings last, you know, last
or Cordarrelle
week,
Patterson.
Taking, yeah, nine deep returns, you know, it's still an exciting play. It's just the, you know, the percentage, you're not getting as many returns.
Are you cognizant in game prep of a guy who either you got to kick it out of the back of the end zone or kick it to the goal line? I mean, is the strategy that finite, I guess?
I mean, there's certain weeks where you really have to make sure, like going into it, this guy's a great returner. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to game plan. I'm going to try and put everything out the back. If I can't, we have to really cover, but, you know, for me, I'm always trying to put it out the back.
What are the different options? Because I know you guys got other options, and you talk about the strategy. Let's say you're playing someplace where you got some wind, and mm-hmm, it's into you, and you know you're not going to be able to kick it out,
yeah,
of the
end zone. Yeah, yesterday's a good example,
yeah,
I guess.
What are you guys trying to do from a strategy standpoint outside the numbers? Is there a place you're trying to actually place the football after the kickoff?
I mean, yeah, we're always trying to, you know, place the ball depending on, you know, our strengths, how we line up. As far as wind's concerned, I mean, sometimes you just, if it's in your face, you might have to hit a pooch ball, you know, might have to hit a squib, but it just, it all depends on who you're facing and what the conditions are that day.
Is that something that you go over during the week with Keith, or is that something that's a game day scenario where you and Keith say, hey, listen, we need to go this route? I mean, because I know you're practicing all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we go over it Wednesday, you know, you look over weather reports, you kind of get a feel for what could happen on Sunday. You know, if you're lucky, you're going to be hopefully pretty spot on with it. But you never know. You just always have to be ready. You know, that's why on days when it is, you know, bad wind from one direction, you try and work on it. So, you know, when it comes up in a game, it's not like, oh, my God, what am I going to do here? I've never done anything in this weather. So it's a lot of preparation, not necessarily just that week, but just in the past, making sure that you've done it before so that when it comes time to do it in a game, you're ready.
It's interesting you mentioned weather because when I saw you last Wednesday, you said, oh, yeah, 60 and clear.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of knew what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Did the wind catch you by surprise yesterday?
Because
it was windy.
Yeah, a little. I mean, we knew it was going to be a little bit breezy, but, I mean, it was moving, and it was kind of just – it was changing direction all the time. So that gets a little bit tricky sometimes because, you know, picking direction you're going for punts and kickoffs.
Right.
You don't know. So you just go out and you try and do the best you can.
Well, I want to ask you about the punting. You've been phenomenal this year punting the football. But one last thing on the kickoff. Do you like the college rule, what they did with the college rule? If you kick it out of the end zone, it comes out to the 25, which maybe – from a strategy standpoint, put you a little bit more in play where you're trying to strategically drop it outside the numbers at the five or something?
I think, you know, it did kind of – it obviously changed the way a lot of teams are doing it. You know, you got a lot of teams that are trying to just, you know, pooch it up to, like, the two-yard line or something. Personally, I think – I mean, you got great returners in college too. I mean, some of these guys, they come out and they're awesome in the NFL. If you got a kicker that can put it out the back of the end zone there, might as well. I mean, a return, you know, Keith always talks about a return out to the 25-yard line. If we can stop him there, that's good for the kickoff team. You know, so in college, why wouldn't it be the same idea? You know, you're taking that guy off the field. You're not allowing him to make a big play for their team.
Matt Bosher is sixth in the league in average at 47.3, tied for fourth in net at 42.5, and twice this year he has matched his career best. In punting at 63 yards. We'll talk more with Matt Bosher when we come back. The player segment of the Mike Smith Radio Show continues live from Flowery Branch after this on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Middle of the field, Tony Gonzalez, the Atlanta touchdown. Right over the top of Luke Kuechly goes Tony Gonzalez.
Get live NFL Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games. How about NFL Red Zone? Watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. How about 24/7 coverage of your favorite sport, the NFL? Never be without NFL. Call Star NFL now to download NFL Mobile only from Verizon.
And back with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Matt Bosher is with us in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show here live at Flowery Branch. Falcons and Seahawks on Sunday at 1 o'clock. We got a checklist of things we got to get through here before we're done at the top of the hour, and then more Archer and Bell with John Michaels. Do you know when it's going to be one of those days? You know when every one of them that's going to come off the foot's going to explode and it's going to be – do you know when it's going to be one of those days? I mean, like, you know, you talk to a quarterback, everything comes flying out of there. It's perfect. It's crisp. It's tight, the whole bit. Running backs kind of know. Do punters know too?
I mean, yeah, you can feel it. Your body feels good. Everything's right. Loose and you can't miss. You know, going through warm-ups, everything's just turning over and flying.
Yeah.
Have you had those games where everything went well in warm-ups and you had the game where – everything went off the side of you? Because I remember if I threw well in warm-ups, I got worried. I said, oh, man, it's going to go sideways at some
really?
Point for me. Now it's going to go sideways in the game.
Yeah.
I needed to throw one off of a fan's head in warm-ups before I knew it was going to work out.
Some of my worst warm-up games have been games where it just came together at the right time.
Really? Yeah.
You know, it's just everything kind of – it was like, okay, don't do that in the game. Got it all out of the system and went out and actually had a good game.
That's cool.
Like Ranger Rick on the golf course, right? You go to the range, can't hit it off toe, hit it off the heel, go to the first tee and stripe it.
Exactly. I mean, you can't. It's almost like you can't miss. You got all the misses out, and now you're good to go.
And talk about the strategy. We talked a little bit about the kickoff, but obviously the punt game is much more mainstream with what goes on in the game. The kickoffs, you've done such a good job, you can eliminate that play from the game. Now the punt game, you're having a dramatic effect on flipping field position. What's the general idea? What you're trying to, let's say you're punting from your own 20-yard lines. You know you're not going to kick. You're not trying to set somebody up deep in their own territory. You're trying to flip the field here. You're punting from your 15-20-yard line. What's the thought process on where you're kicking the ball?
You know, depending on the returner, you know, it's a lot of game planning, knowing which ways returners like to return the ball, how special teams coaches like to set up returns, middles, sidelines. And then we kind of play to our strengths, you know, guys who are matched up a certain way to release out, you know, to the right, left, whatever. So, you know, we're always trying to make sure we pin a guy. You know, these returners are great. I'm trying to put them in a phone booth and make sure that we get the best opportunity for our players to get down there and get them on the ground.
Do you have to change up as much, maybe not near as much, but do you change up a lot where they don't get kind of a gauge on what you're trying to do? We hear that all the time about offensive and defensive football where we got to self-scout because we can't give ourselves away.
Yeah, you know, for me, returners, they're great at reading the body language of a punter. I mean, they're 50 yards down the field, but they look at our shoulders. They look at how we're lined up inside, outside the hash, and they're good at learning where the ball is going from that. So you have to try and mask it, hide it, and some guys have gotten as good as, you know, lining up like they're going one way, catching, take a step the complete opposite way, and putting it, you know, pinning them on the other sideline. So it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of, you know, like I said, game planning and scheming it out to make sure that you can be successful.
Now, you're still a youngster in the game. You've only been here a short time. But of the guys you've had to actually look down there and see standing down there, who's the one guy that's kind of made you a little – is there a guy that's made you a little skittish about kicking it to him?
You know, you can't really look at it that way. You got a job to do, and if you do – you have to understand that if you do your job right and hang that ball up and put it outside the numbers or wherever, you know, Keith's wanting me to put it, that our guys are going to take care of it. You know, force a fair catch and get him on the ground if he does decide to return it. You know, focus on yourself first and the, you know, the punt team aspect of it, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
All right, Matt, here's the last technique question.
Okay.
How many different kinds of punts are there? Because we see guys punt them where they go end over end in the air. We see guys just hammer them, mm-hmm. which I guess is just the normal approach to punting. And then we see the ones where they're not end over end, but they land and you get them to check back up.
Yeah.
Is that three different techniques, or is it, how is it set up?
The end over end one is one that you're trying to use a little bit closer in when you're trying to pin them inside like the 10-yard line. That's going to be the one that checks up if you hit it right. You know, a lot of it's luck, but if you're getting a nice slow rotation on the ball, a lot of times you can get that good straight up bounce, or you can even get, you know, where it hits like the 2-3 and kicks back a little bit.
Right.
Sometimes that works against you. I've had a couple where, you know, you hit it, it's a perfect ball, lands at the 9-10-yard line, the returner doesn't grab it, bounces back to the 18.
Sure.
But then, you know, you can turn balls over, hit spirals. And then some guys, they try to, instead of the end over end, they go nose up when you're close in, so it doesn't necessarily carry as far.
Okay.
And then some guys use the ball, it's kind of like a knuckleball. So instead of holding the ball like you would for a spiral, you'd hold it the complete opposite way, so the nose goes out. And it just goes up, and you'll see returners look at it like, I have no idea what this thing is, and run out of the way. Because it just drops like a big leaf dropping down.
Well, we talked about the conditions. I would assume that something like that, if you do have some blustery conditions, might be advantageous for you, especially if you know you don't have to pound one 50, 60 yards down the field.
Yeah, you know, that's a short-range ball. You're using, you know, hopefully if you have the wind at your back, in your face, it doesn't go anywhere. Also, if you have a good returner downfield, you know, you want to try and keep him on his toes. You don't want to keep throwing fastballs right over the plate. You want to change it up, throw a curveball in there, and, you know, keep him guessing. So it's not as easy for him to make up his mind where he wants to go with it.
Anybody ever get you to try and rugby punt it, rugby kick it?
In college, when we would do, like, punt return, and I'd be, like, on scout team punt,
sure.
We would kind of mess around with it if another team did it. But it was never something that I preferred to do. I wasn't as consistent at it as, you know, just lining up straight away and punting it.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, you know, and it's I didn't like it. You know, it's not for me. Yeah. I like the traditional line up and, you know, hit the ball. You know, it's what works. It's what's worked in the NFL for years and years, and it worked in college for years. It's just – you know, it's almost like, you know, you see him, it's masking things a little bit in college with it.
Don't forget, guys, the Falcons did not score a touchdown in the fourth quarter yesterday, but pay attention next weekend. If they do score a touchdown, Kaufman Tire are your people, because you could save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment, and that's the next day only after the Falcon game. So listen for the Falcons to score a fourth quarter touchdown this weekend against Seattle to get your opportunity to save some money at Kaufman Tire.
All right, a couple of more minutes left here with Matt Bosher, and then more Archer and Bell with John Michaels after 4 o'clock on 7-9 of the Zone. By law, during this segment each week, we invariably talk about the college situations. Since you played at Miami and since last Saturday night was Florida State, and Anton Smith is in the locker room, you know, whether there was a conversation and some sort of, you know, deal on the table, that's none of our business, really. But how intense does it get on weeks like Miami, Florida State? And now you're telling Arch and I, you got a problem in your own meeting room?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you know, you got Matt Bryant jumping on the bandwagon.
Who's a Baylor guy?
I know. He's all of a sudden the biggest Florida State fan you can find, him and Josh Harris. So, you know,
Josh Harris went to Auburn.
I know, and I'm going to be roll-tiding him to death when it's the Iron Bowl. You know, and this coming week, you know, I believe it's Thursday, Boomer Sooner, let's go, take down Baylor Bears. You know, they're in there doing the chop to me all game long. You know,
really?
Yeah, it's coming back. It's going to come back on them. But, you know, it's fun. You know, we all went there, you know, we all went to our different schools. And
sure.
It's great to be able to come in and, you know, kind of have friendly deals with people and, you know, talk trash to each other and wear your throwback stuff from when you're in college. Yeah, it's exciting.
What's the most ridiculous thing that's happened on the college side?
As far as,
you know, guys wearing something, you're like, you gotta be kidding me. He's wearing that today.
I mean, some of the crazy colors that some of these schools had in their warmups. I mean, I can't really make fun of anybody. Mine's bright orange. I had a bright highlighter orange hoodie on the other day walking through, and I mean, you couldn't miss me. I looked like a guy standing on the side of the road, you know, with my high visibility jacket on.
Right.
But yeah, mostly just the crazy colors, goofy hats, all the crazy throwback stuff if they can get it.
Matt, you still know guys that are down there that are playing for Al Golden at the U. How have you had a chance to talk to any of those guys? And maybe it's been difficult because it's during the season and you're trying to prepare for your games as well. But how they're feeling about the really having that umbrella taken off of the top of them, the NCAA stuff and all the things they've had to play under, really done an excellent job of being as competitive as they've been with everything hanging over their head. But have you had a chance to talk to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they've all just, you know, they've all bought in. They've all bought into Coach Golden's system. They've all bought into it doesn't matter what's going on with the NCAA. They can't control it. You know, now it's all gone. It's great. They don't have to worry about it. They can finally go to a bowl game and experience all the fun stuff that comes after the season's over. And as far as recruiting, you know, all these kids, they know what they can expect if they do choose to come to Miami. And I think it's going to really help the program get back to where we want to be. And continue winning just because we don't have to worry about what the NCAA is going to do with us anymore and if they're going to try and, you know, kill the program.
Yeah, good points. Matt, thanks. Appreciate the time this week.
Yeah, and by the way, congratulations from Wes and I and John Michaels. You're getting married in February. So
thank you very much.
Congratulations, yeah. Brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good for you. That's awesome. We'll see you Sunday. AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11. The Falcons and Seahawks is at 1. Stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up next on your home of the Falcons, 790 The Zone.